Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Jill cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
We are back. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only live radio talk show where we talk about cars and all the things that affect us in our car lives. Your host, Ray Guarino, co-host from his dacha out in Connecticut, Chris Switzer. Chris?
Hi, how are you? How you doing, Ray?
Excellent.
And it's not cars anymore.
What is it?
Not cars. They are now safety transportation pods.
Ah.
They're not cars. We're not talking about cars anymore because with the advent of this little germ that's spreading around, people are actually just driving around in their cars. Safety pods, I should say. I should excuse myself.
Well, let's back up a little bit here. You know, we didn't do a show last week, and the reason is because of the whole lockdown thing. We were on the week before.
We're all coughing and sneezing and wiping our nose on our sleeve. Yes.
Yeah, and we have, because of the great efforts from the staff at WHPC, Sean Novat, our program director especially, we've got a way to do remote broadcasting now where you're at your house, I'm at my house, and we can, you know, we can do all sorts of stuff. It's a great new world.
And you're not wearing any pants.
You don't have to when you do it like this, right? I would like to say that people should still check us out on social media and follow us on our website, motormouthradio.com, Motormouth Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and on Instagram, we're real_ Motormouth Radio, Joe's favorite.
Yes.
And you can see what we're doing during the week and, you know, what we get involved with. So
and how we're able to keep this show rolling even in such strange circumstances and in such strange times as we're living in right now with this COVID-19 situation going on. We're all stuck in our houses. And I can't say stuck. It's not stuck. It's where we're safe in our houses. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've been doing is I just can't sit in the house all the time because my back just seizes. It's like, you know, it's like a bad bearing on a small block. My back seizes, my leg seizes. So every day I've been religiously taking walks.
And drinking motor oil, I'm sure. No, you're not drinking.
I've been drinking
oil.
Something. Yeah, I don't know.
You've been drinking some lubricant.
And I got to tell you, I even went out yesterday. My wife says, "Where are you going?" So I'm going out for a walk. She says, "It's raining." I'm like, "Oh, yeah? So?"
"So it's water. What's the big deal?"
I'm like, "I'm going out. I don't care. I got an umbrella." And I want to say, you know, when you're in the Motormouth Radio world and the world of cars, everything is an adventure. And what I found was, you know, we've talked about this, and this is a la right out of the world of Tom Cotter, Ryan Brutt, guys who, you know, look for cars for a living.
Right.
Even Glenn the Car Hunter has done this. You drive around, you see things one way. If you ride a motorcycle, I've talked about this, you'll see things you don't see in a car. When you walk around your neighborhood, will see things that you've gone down this block every day on the way. And then like, where'd that garage come from? You're like, they just put it up today, right?
It happens in this neighborhood too. I think I told you real fast. A woman rolled a bicycle up to my driveway, and I was just getting the mail. The garage door was closed, and she pointed like past me and said, "Is there a TR6 in that garage?" And I said, "Yes. You want to buy it?" But she knew I had the garage door open one day, and she knew that there was the car there at the time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so it's nice. And she rode her bicycle, and that's what she had said. I rode my bicycle past. I saw the little white car in the garage, and I knew she had one as well. So, of course, you know, we all decided to cry on each other's shoulders. But
oh, lucky her, yeah. So, well, I tell you, just for a short walk around my neighborhood yesterday, I found a Z4 sitting in the back of a, I don't know, probably it was a Z3, BMW.
Mm-hmm.
A Firebird 400 with like slicks on it sitting in the back. And these are all like in the back of the driveway by the, yeah. I found a, what I believe is a Fiero because it was a small bodied car under a cover.
Yeah.
And the way they had the bungee cords grabbing like the fender lips, they were high. And I'm thinking that looks like a Fiero or a kit car or something.
Right, right.
So I'm mentally making notes. I'll go back and look at these things again in the future.
It's funny you should mention that because on our sojourns, on our walks, there's a guy, he cracks me up every time I see it. Do you remember those Pontiac, two-seater Pontiacs that came out in the early 2000s? That one of them was the Solstice.
Oh, we, sure.
You and I saw one.
I love that car.
At the auto show when we went 100 years ago, the Solstice and the Saturn Sky.
That's correct.
Which I thought was the nicer of the two. But otherwise, there's one sitting in front of a guy's garage. It is up on cinder blocks. It's got no tires on it. And right. It's just sitting there. And I'm like,
really?
What is he doing with this?
Now, I look at that as a newer car. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. But it's just so odd. It's odd to see a Solstice nonetheless, but to see one that's up on blocks with the tires, wheels and tires clearly off it is kind of weird. I mean, it doesn't look abandoned or anything. It's in someone's driveway, but it's just, it is right. A newer car, obviously. But even those cars, we've seen collector interest in those cars recently in the last couple of years when we did the GTO show down at Crab, Crab Meadow Park? Up on the North Shore?
Crab Meadow Beach.
And there was a lineup of Solstices there, which we thought was like kind of odd. But there, I mean, it's a collector car now. And it's kind of weird watching the march of time to see those cars being coveted when we were like, eh.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. We saw them when they were just coming out. They were brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm going through the same turmoil because I look at these cars and I go, well, they're new, and then you think about it, and they're really not because any car that was built in 2002, 2003 is now what, 15, 16, 17 years old,
right?
And I think to myself, when I owned my '68 Electra, that was 1983. I bought that car. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about what? 14, 15-year-old car. So if we think about it, put ourselves now in 2020, this year, if you go and buy a car from 2005, that would be equivalent to then. So and you think about a car from 2005 and you go, it's new. It's a new car to me. It's a new car to you.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of funny when you put it in perspective. And along the same lines, I look at that 69 Chrysler in the garage and I keep thinking that's a 15-year-old car. It's 50. It's a 50-year-old car. 50-year-old cars when we were kids were from the 30s.
That's right.
Absolutely. From the 20s.
Absolutely right.
You know, when you were in high school, you're going to drive around a Model T?
No. No.
That to me, just putting it all in perspective in the march of time that we are experiencing now, to me, is just extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So that Solstice that's sitting there could be some kid's dream car, some 17-year-old thinking, oh, my God, this thing is so old. So
well, there you go. Now, we've talked about that many times. You know, like when we were young and in high school and you saw, you know, I had picked up a 56 Chevy in a lady's yard. You know, you could get cars that you could work on and put back on the road. Now, right. We've talked about this on the show, many times. What are the chances of somebody picking up a Solstice or a Sky or anything newer that's computerized and being able to restore it and get it back on the road because of the electronics?
Well, it's a good point, a really good point. And I think of it this way. Any kid that's 17 or 18 years old or even under 20 or even under 25 is so familiar with the electronics. When guys like you and I remember a time that it didn't exist. We're in a very unique position, you and I, and our generation, because our life is kind of like split in half. There's half of our life where we had a kitchen telephone and you had a color television and you had all and a camera. You had all of those things, but they were all separate components. You didn't have a computer in the house, right?
Right.
Now the second half of our life, all of those components fit on one disc, one a slab, which we call a cell phone, and we have a computer and we have internet connectability, and we've adapted to that. But there's still, in this generation of people that are embracing technology, there's still, like you say, that fear. You're like, oh my God, it's an onboard computer in my car. What am I going to do? It's a black box.
Well,
when kids, I think, will have more familiarity with it and just get into it and figure it all out.
No, you're right in that respect. The angle that I'm coming at is when the car has been sitting now dormant for a number of years, that's right. A newer car. The you know what happens with connections and wiring and all, how you get oxidation and what if the car was parked and it had a couple bad body control modules, or the ECM was bad, or an ABS module, and now they don't leave a note like this was what was bad. When you picked up the 68 Buick, you look it over and you say, oh, it's got a cracked distributor cap. Oh, you know what? I need a wheel cylinder. It was obvious. This stuff is the hidden things that are killers. So that's what I mean. First, you got to be Joe. You have to be able to diagnose this thing to see what's online and what's not. You got to boot the machine.
I was just thinking the same thing. You have to be Joe. You have to literally go in there with a diagnosis type of software piece of equipment and plug it in and go, okay, what's going on with you? So you're absolutely right. You have to get into that black box, into that hidden area. Yeah. But I really do think that, I don't know whether I'm being an internal optimist here, but I really do think that the kids today have more less of a fear of that knowledge when you and I would go, Hey, I like the,
we have another co-host that's sitting in with us. No one else can see this. Just you.
It's funny. This is really unique for you and I as well. Not only doing the show this way on the radio, but we're looking at each other through Zoom. So I can see your background.
Correct.
And you keep changing it.
Well, when you can play, you play. Hey, look, so you know what? We have a, I tell you what, we have a special ordeal today, Chris, because we're doing this online, but we have the ability to, as I had Commander Kirk behind me, we have a phone caller guest who's not really a phone caller. He's a virtual guest, but Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycles dropped in. Gerard, how are you?
Hi, Ray. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Gerard, how are you, my brother? How have you been?
I've been good. Long time listener, very shy caller. You know how it goes.
But you make a great guest. Come on. Gotta admit.
My cars sit. You know what I mean?
You're dropping out.
New cars that sit for a period of time if they're in storage, right? Did I get my ears cleared?
That's correct. You're correct.
And so we have a situation with the motorcycles, the fuel injected bikes,
Exactly.
The ethanol gas builds up in the tank, and I actually have a rusted pump assembly laying in the case at the store, which nobody sees now. But to show you, to listen, you need to use some sort of an ethanol, treatment to break down the moisture that it forms. It's not necessarily forming in your tank, but forms in the gas station tanks. There you go. Startron is an excellent.
People can't see it, but I'm holding up a bottle of Startron. Yes.
How do you do this? Where? What orifice are you pulling this stuff out of?
Chris. Okay, let me back up. Now you see it where all the plane and traffic guys rave about it. Like how Mikey T used to say that I used to pull stuff out of a hat. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, you call it a hat.
Actually, Mikey T had given me this video at one point. I don't know. Why isn't it?
I can't see it. You got to turn your background off. I can't see it. It's the reflection is blending into your background.
It's Felix the Cat. He gave me this video because he says, you're always pulling stuff out of that bag and out of your hat. The plane traffic guys say the same thing. Like, you mentioned something and Ray's got it near him. And I don't have everything here. I have a bunch of stuff and things that I know I would use, but StarTron was one of the ones I would always show. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It gets to be real expensive. You know, we had a customer come in. He was only sitting for 2 years. Had to pull the tank off, get the inside of the tank, all the lining in the tank. You know, Harley coats the insides of the tanks with a liner to prevent it from rusting if it sits through the winter with, let's say, half a tank of gas. So you have moisture. Mm-hmm. And take the tank off, have the inside of the tank stripped, you know, capitate it, you know, go and take the line out, reline the tank, get a Harley Davidson pump, put it all back in. By the time you get done, it's over $1,000 to do repair, you know. And to the customer, listen, if you're not going to ride the bike, tow it here. We'll ride it for you. We'll change the gas and you tow it back home. It'll be cheaper and we'll be let it sit for a couple of hours. So,
wow, perfect. That is perfect. It's true.
I'm calling in because I want to applaud you guys on really taking extraordinary action to maintain the show and be able to keep something a little bit normal. Abnormal time, you know what I mean? So it's
Abby,
right. Normal. Abby normal.
That's
truth.
How we
thank you, Gerard.
For pulling out all the electronics to put this together from across cities and states.
It's well, the truth.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it together. And luck, like I said earlier in the show, it's all thanks to the station management, because if Sean didn't go through, and Kim too, didn't go through these extreme measures to make sure that software was available and hardware was available. And I had some on the fly training with him this morning, how to use it. So I have the actual station's board in front of me on a split screen, so I could actually pull up promos and stuff. You know, things like that. So if we didn't have that availability, we'd be, you know, it just, this wouldn't happen. So it's a group effort. You know, is what it is.
Technology can work both for and against you. So it's good. You're using it for good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Using it for powers of good. Yes. It is the truth. And you know what? It's kind of nice, Gerard, the way you say it, that it does bring a little bit of normalcy into something that is just such a unique situation. Nothing I don't think any of us experienced in our lifetimes. And just for the fact that you could still turn on the radio, turn on a local station and listen to a local program, I think is pretty rare and pretty extraordinary. And I think really people are turning to radio now. They're like, what's going on our street? What's going on? We're stuck in our house, or safe in our house, I should say. And they're turning to local radio and local programming. And I really do think that it's I'm glad that you recognize it, and thank you for that.
Kudos to you. You get an extra slice of raisin pie at the end of the day. So good.
There you go. Boy, someone else finally used that besides me. I used to say it to Joe all the time, and he would just look at me like, ooh, raisin pie sounds good. I'm like, I'll tell you the background of that. It's
yeah, because you know, some are amused, others ponder. So we don't know.
Right. It's all good. So I see you, Chris. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, so, same here, my brother.
Say hello. You know.
Yes. Well, thank you.
We're still open. To fall into the category of a garage. Mm-hmm. So, New York State, you know, repair facility. So the parts department is closed.
Right.
But kind of adapted the takeout food mentality. So somebody wants something, they want 4 quarts of oil and a filter, then they'll call it in, charges card on the phone, drives up to the door, we go outside, hey, you got the stuff, I got the money, you got the stuff, you know, and just
yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah, window and have a nice day, you know. So people are still getting, and let's face it, what better way to social distance yourself than to get on your motorcycle? You know, I mean,
you're right.
You know, unless maybe riding the passenger, but other than that, it's just an idea.
Oh. Well, but if it's the passenger you live with, you know, like in our cases, we have spouses and all. It's like, hey, you know, if you get it, I'm getting it. So what the heck, you know?
Right.
We're in this together.
No, it's so true.
But we're trying to do our part, you know, as little as it is, to be able to keep things in a normal way, like you guys are doing. Everybody contributes a little bit, then it doesn't go so far over the edge. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Crunch of the 2008, right? Like, think about that, you know?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
It's the truth. No, you're absolutely right. And just knowing that we don't have to use toilet paper from our shop rags.
Yeah. So how is this, besides the obvious, how has it affected the business model, Gerard, working day at Rolling Thunder?
Well, it's a little tougher to become a takeout place. You know, the service department, I think guys think of it as, you know, an escapism. You know, they can get away, something they can do outside. that, you know, is not, you're going to get them sick and not going to get other people sick. And right. So the department's actually been busy. We've had guys bringing bikes in for performance work, for tires and oil changes. Remarkably enough, a lot of older bikes, guys are getting some of their older bikes on the road. They've been sitting. They have a newer one. And I said, I want to get this 81 shovel head going again. You know, so bring that in and service. And so they were prepared to do this. And I think that if they may have a better outlook saying, you know what, this is going to pass. So let me get this done, you know, and then I'll be ready to go once this is over with, you know. So if I got to wait an extra month or 2 months. So people, I think, are optimistic in that sense. So, you know, we did a twin cam motor just recently. We did a 50 pan motor. I got a 45 NUC, which, you know, not that we want to do all the old stuff, but
yeah. You
know, there's a 66 shovel complete injury build. Like we just did a cams and head jobs on twin cam stuff. And we're seeing some of the more Milwaukee 8 stuff that coming out of warranty. You know, Harley, everybody kind of scared, like, well, if you go do anything to your $30,000 motorcycle and you don't do it through a Harley Davidson dealer, then you're going to void your warranty. So, and now a lot of bikes are starting to come off warranty, and if they have extended warranties, well, anybody in the country can actually do an extended warranty, you know, if they wanted to, you know, you're working for a little bit less labor rate, but other than that, you just provide a service for the customer. So I'm starting to see more of the M8s, you know, the new motor, and that runs like a champ. That's a good design on there. They got some of the early bugs out of it, and I really can't complain about that bike. It's good to go.
Let me ask you this. How did you guys get training to work on those engines?
Well, it's basically the same mechanical. There is no formal training in the market industry, you know, like there is, you know, you're not going to go to a Harley seminar on that. But you know, I have to give some kudos to our reps because, well, they're not coming around now, but you know, a lot of the big distributors have individual sales reps that come around. They'll give you the latest information, what's available. And the companies that are making the components are more than happy to spend a little bit of time on your phone, explain the difference of, you know, how this cam is going to make a difference, or how, you know, this particular modification, this particular pipe or this fuel management system is going to make a difference in the bike. And so basically it's the same stuff, you know, it's just a matter. And of course we have all the manuals. So if you know what you're doing, you know, I mean, how many manuals do you have? Right now?
So. Oh yeah. Well, if you could see next to me, you'd see the shelves. They will overflow. But the next thing is, like Chris and I were talking about, how are you guys handling the electronics and the electrical interface that the new bikes have that the old ones don't?
Well, we don't have access to Harley Davidson's, you know, digital tech, they call it, which is their laptop and software. But there are aftermarket companies like, you know, Techno Research, where, you know, we bought their software. Okay. And Dataport, you know, much like Automotive, you know, and the newer the bike gets, the more diagnostic trouble code you have. So it makes it a little bit easier to find. You know, in the early days, it was like crank position sensor or cam position sensor, which one, you know, but it's one of those.
Now, I know because we have a good friend, Matco Man Brian, out in Maryland, the new line of Matco scanners does support Harley Davidson.
Right.
I think the Snap-on does too, but the Matcos are now forging ahead with being easier to use, and the interface, they say, is a lot nicer. So.
So you're going to see more of that. You know, initially we picked up Techno Research a couple of years ago. And so we're sticking with him. And he's good. It's a good company. They get back to you. They have good customer service. So they, you know, if I have a question about something, you know, an alarm programming, you know, do I have to marry this module or not? And, you know, so you have support from the distributor. Answer your question on training. You do have support from the distributors as well as, hey, listen, it doesn't tell you have an intake manifold leak. It doesn't tell you, you know, that your engine temperature sensor is bad. It just tells you that it's out of range, you know, so you need to figure out, well, okay, looking at the scale, is this in or out of range? And then you know whether you need to change that or not. So you still need a lot of mechanical background in order to even use this software. It doesn't tell you everything, you know?
Right. That'd be the thing. You'd have to take that, like with a temperature sensor, good example, you'd have to be able to know, okay, what do I expect to see out of that? Is it a DC voltage, AC voltage? I'm looking at a wave. The technician or mechanic needs to know that so he can go through that next test, you know, as opposed to just reaching on the shelf and being a parts changer. You know,
you have to have a mechanical background to begin with. And then really just, you know, if you're doing enough of them, it's just, you know, all right, what's this one have? You know, what's the difference about this one? Okay, this is a common, you know. And yet, we just got a bike, a 93 touring bike in, and the guy says, well, I put in gear, it makes this horrible noise, you know. So you put in gear, and he's right, it makes a horrible noise. Okay, well, you know, what could that be? I have to think about it a while, because we haven't seen this particular problem in a while, because Harley resolved it in 94 and later, but he actually tore all the splines out of the transmission pulley. Oh. So, you know what I mean? So the pulley to the rear wheel, that you put it in gear, it's turning the main shaft, turning the transmission, it's not turning the belt. And so you can imagine, you know, with the inside of the pulley missing all the teeth and then rotating on the splines of the main shaft, what that would sound like, you know, that horrible grinding noise.
And, right.
You know, oh, yeah, that's right. They fixed that in 94. We haven't, we thought they were all gone by now. You know,
kind of like, I don't know, but it shouldn't sound like that this time of year.
Cleaning out debris out of the cases with mixed with the lubricant and all that good stuff. I'm sure that was a joy.
Yeah, so, you know, so it's you know, it's, you got to remember because, you know, because they resolve an issue and then you kind of forget that that's a problem, you know? So you go, what is that? Oh, yeah, that's what that is. So I remember that noise, you know, haven't seen it in 20 years, but I remember that noise.
Well, now that's what happens when people have vehicles that don't get used regularly. The problem never rears its ugly head because it didn't have the miles put on it. So something that happened regularly to cars or bikes when they at maybe, you know, the say the 10,000 mile mark, 5,000 mile mark, which would have been within a year or two. If the vehicle wasn't used, that might not happen till 5, 10, or 15 years later, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's all relative. You have to...
Like, has 11,000 miles, I was in 93. So, you know, so yeah, in those years. Plus, how many more motorcycles were they making back then? You know, I mean, personally, I mean, many now, you know, the Harley riding group is getting a little bit older, and they're, you know, more interested in touring stuff, you know? And even Harley has gone to electric bicycles as well as electric motorcycles.
Wow.
I was surprised that... I wasn't thinking about that. I'm not involved in that end of it, but then I do have customers that actually go bicycling off road.
Uh-huh.
So you have, you know, a lot of parks, national parks even have these, you know, bicycle paths off road and stuff. And so you have a motorized bicycle that you can pedal, you know, you can still get out there and pedal, and then you can use the, you know, if you get tired of going up the hill or down the hill. And so there's a big market for that, which I'm not aware of until I actually talk to people. Why would they make electric bicycles? You know, thinking, you know, who's going to, but there are people out there that like to go out off road, so to speak, on bicycle stuff, not, you know, dirt riding, dirt bikes, but bicycle.
I mean, that goes back to the Wizard days.
Yeah, right.
You know? And I was just watching American Pickers. They did a thing with a, I forget now who the company was. Chris, you might remember. It was back in the 20s when the, you know, early days of bicycles. And it was a electric motor that mounted, not electric, it was a gas powered motor that mounted up
on the front wheel.
Oh, this one, this was on the rear.
On a rear wheel?
I'm trying to remember because they said the company was sold to somebody else. Maybe it was to Delco or something like that. But these were very popular back in the day, and they were talking about the rarity and which ones were worth more. But it made that bicycle, you know, motor-powered.
Right. You know, yeah, I thought it was on the front fender. I do remember recalling seeing a picture of like a two-cycle motor, and it had two small wheels that grabbed on like a set of brakes would grab onto the rim of the front wheel, and it would propel the bicycle that way. It was, yeah, some sort of wizard. That makes
I think the front-wheel drive version came out later than the original rear-wheel drive one.
Oh, okay.
Right. You know, it's like, you know what? On the TV, they showed this on the, at the rear. It doesn't mean it couldn't have been put on either side. Maybe it was the person's choice. I don't know. But
well, I'm just thinking on a business level, as far as Harley-Davidson is concerned, I think they're familiar with the fact that their clientele is getting a little older. And probably coming out with new products to try and appeal to millennials who are big or avid bike riders overall.
When I see the wheelchair, I'll know that they've eclipsed that mark. You
know? Yeah, well, you know, millennials really are interested in big Harleys, but they are interested in other things. So they're just trying to, you know, get them. I mean, how many people, you know, they only buy cars, really?
Yeah. Right.
You know, Uber around and, you know, live in a city and travel by, you know, whatever means of transportation other than actually having to own or maintain something. So,
right.
You have that conversation often, you know, but you do have, there is a group of, like we call them Dyna guys, you know, that like the lighter model bike and, you know, they do all kinds of custom work to it. These are the ones you see on videos that are going down the road on one wheel with the hand dragging behind them and, you know.
Yeah, that's Chris.
Oh yeah,
and that's Chris because he actually hit the throttle and let off the clutch, and the bike went up in the air.
Well, that's how I ride normally.
I know. I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break and reestablish this mess. We shall all be quiet while I play some. I don't know if we're not going to be able to hear these, so you just got to. You know, I guess what we're going to do is wait till I talk again and
call us back
because I won't be able to hear it either. So I can see the countdown. So let's take a break here on Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycles with us today on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose
choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services. 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at CelebrityChaseCollision.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
We're back with more Motor Mouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino. Chris Switzer and Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycles. We're all at our remote locations today doing the best we can to keep you apprised of what's up in automotive and motorcycle world that we're living in this crazy day. I want to tell you guys about something. The English Town Swap Meet was coming up. It was scheduled for April 7th, the weekend of the 17th. They rescheduled it to the weekend of May 15th through the 17th.
Oh, that's good, because I need socks and underwear and Christmas tree air fresheners.
Right. Yeah, you know what? We goof about that, how the swap meet has become great if you want a kitchen sink or a faucet.
Right.
And it's
pinball
true.
Machine.
Yeah. It has changed, and the internet changed that, because people sell stuff online. But if you do know how to look and how to shop at a swap meet like we do, you can still find those little gems and those little things that you just – you know, it's almost, you can find them online, but it's different when you can pick them up and hold them and touch it and say, yeah, you know, how much you want for this? You know, mm-hmm. The guy down on a price. So.
There was that one time that you saw the Pink Panther pinball machine.
No, it was a slot machine.
Slot machine.
I still kick myself for not buying it.
I saw the look on your face. This is nice doing the show this way. I get to see your reaction.
Yeah.
But the look on your face, the eye roll was spectacular.
Right.
But yeah, that was one of those things. And we were looking at each other like, we got to drag this thing back to the car, because it was probably about 150, 200 pounds.
I should have done it. But, you know, that's one of those things, you know, we've said that for a long time. The mantra is, you see something, maybe you haggle, maybe you just look at it. You walk by and you say, I'll come back. Two rows later, I'll cut back over. We've all done that. You come back over, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Gone.
No, so. my lament with any swap meet has been bad timing, because I've whatever parts were available, I did not have the car for. Or when I had the car and then I went to the swap meet all excited because I had the right car for the parts that they were selling, those parts weren't there. Like it was totally on a different car. Because we've noticed that we go to a swap meet and there's like, for some reason, I don't know why this happens, but there's like all Camaro parts. It's like everywhere you go, there's all Camaro parts. And then like the next year, there's all Mustang parts.
Yeah.
And one year I had that 71 Mustang and I'm like, woo, looking forward to going to English Town. I can get all kinds of stuff for my car. Nothing. It was nothing.
Your favorite tool that you buy always.
My which one? I have many.
The dollar table. You're always on the dollar table.
Dollar, of course. Of course. I got to get the 10 millimeter socket that I lost the week and a half before.
That's become a whole, I don't know if that's become a whole internet thing now. There's memes everywhere about 10 millimeter sockets showing up everywhere.
Because they disappear.
Yeah,
they
not mine.
Disappear. Well, no, we lost a socket. You and I lost a socket probably about the same week, and we never lose sockets.
No, no.
They're misplaced, but they're never lost.
I have a Torx bit that's a brand new Torx bit that's lost in my wife's car somewhere under the hood, and I'll never get it back. I already bought a new set. It was like,
That's right. You showed that Torx bit. You bought a whole new set.
Well, yeah. Because I'll never lose the others, you know?
No, of course not.
So I know, I got to say, we probably have Matt Goman Brian listening to us in Maryland. I know we have Chassis John listening to us down in Florida today. Billy G is out in Whitestone. We got guys all over the place. You know, Glenn's probably in Tennessee. It's so everybody's back on, back doing their thing, which is good. It's good to know. But I want to tell you guys something. You know, we all actually, we drive cars. And something that came up this week, I saw an article in the paper. Since DMV is closed, you can do your license or registrations online only. But the question came up about a vehicle inspection. Like, are inspections you know, put off? And the answer is absolutely not. Mm. And I'll say here that the state, they closed the DMV for all other purposes, but the inspections are another story. Auto garages, like Gerard had said, are deemed essential by the state and can remain open while most other businesses are closed for the foreseeable future. Who knows when? But now several neighboring states, including New Jersey, they didn't say which other ones, have suspended that inspection. And maybe it's because Jersey has a state inspection program, you know, where ours is local. But so if you were wondering about that, no, you still have to get your car inspected.
Son of a gun. Gerard, how's your commute from the house to the shop?
If you could live like this all the time, it'd be great. And I mean, there's no traffic, there's nobody on the road, you know, not half the number of people trying to kill you when you're out riding on your bike. It's great. You know, it's just, I mean, it's one of the more positive things you have to look at. You know, it's the commute is breeze. It's just nobody, you know, just you go out in the middle of the day, road test, not have to worry about being in traffic jams. But it also seems that the number of people that are still out there is probably just as, it must be a proportionate to crazy people, because now that there's nobody on the road, they're going twice as fast.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, whether it's on the side streets or the highways, they just, you know, oh, look, nobody's here. Let me go 70. You know, it's like, well, you don't really go 55.
I know Jeep and Al's out there. He's listening to us. So he's zipping around in his area. And Brian, so they're all out there. All our guys are here, which is great. They found us again. You know, like I said, during my walks, I was out by Sunrise Highway. And every time I go out, I say, wow, it looks like Christmas morning. You know, this is what it's like on Christmas morning. There's just, you know, very sparse traffic. You can cross the highway without getting killed like 900 times. You know, it's time to be a pedestrian.
Yeah, it's a silver lining, so to speak, you know. So,
yeah.
Just like listening to your show is a silver lining.
Oh, geez. Silver lining in
the
a
show
bowl of, I don't know what.
These bleeds here.
So yeah, it's, you know, and thank God, because, you know, if we couldn't stay open, then, you know, who pays the workman's compensation insurance? Who pays the rent? Who pays the business operating insurance? You know, the phone is still on, you know what I mean? Whether you use it or not, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
Electricity and alarm and blah, 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 blah.
Well, Gerard, have you spoke with other people in the small business community about, I mean, I know a few who, that have already closed. Are there, have been, what's the buzz on the street about that? Like,
well, like in the motorcycle community, it's most of them are, there's a little bit of conflicting information. There are some shops that are accessory only and don't do any service work. Right. And I spoke to one of them and they said they called the town of Hempstead. Town of Hempstead said, well, as long as you don't have five people in the building, it's okay.
Okay.
You know, and yet, you know, so I think that, you know, it's just going to be a matter of eventually somebody's going to send somebody around to see who's open and either tell them you have to close or fine them, because that would be more, you know.
Well, doesn't the 6-foot rule apply? I mean, because you have more than five at one time, but you're all spaced apart.
Right, right. I think they're talking about maybe, you know, five customers as opposed
to. Oh, okay.
If you have one person behind the counter and you have five people in the place, you know. And, you know, you could argue, well, look, as long as they say 6 feet apart, but I mean, before, you know, they went into, you know, before last week when they closed all the businesses, we put tables in front of the counter so that this way you have a space. It's like, okay, it's, you know, be aware of the fact that we're trying to do what we can to keep us and you safe. So just stay that much further away. What do you need?
So I saw that barbed wire truck outside. All right. Yeah. I wonder what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Digging a moat around the
excavating.
I've never done so much cleaning in the shop. I have to tell you, we all put the gloves on and get the Lysol out. And it's like, and the more you clean, the more you realize you have to clean.
Yeah.
You know? Of course.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get the handle on the glass beater. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to have to dial on the hot sauce machine. Oh, the tire machine has a handle on it. We clean that. How about the buttons on the overhead door? On and on. You know, you just clean it. But places looking good now, though, because we're cleaning the hell out of it. So something like that.
I'm wondering, up here, there a lot of restaurants for incentive are giving away with their food order, they're giving away toilet paper.
Really?
yeah, they're giving away rolls of toilet paper with their food order, and some of the offers are pretty good. Like, you know, they're giving like 3 or 4 days worth of food for like 25-30 bucks. I'm probably just trying to get rid of it, but that added incentive of the toilet paper is like, I'm going.
Well, it's like buy the oil, get the filter free.
I wonder, yeah, I think,
I wonder if the food requires the extra toilet paper.
You never know.
It may be. Right. Never know. You're absolutely right. I'm thinking, like, what could Gerard do for, like, incentive for delivery or to bring people to his parking lot?
Oh, question. No.
Now, now is like the time to reinvent. Now is the time. I don't look at this as a bad thing. I look at this as almost like an opportunity. I just haven't figured out what the opportunity was yet, but I'm still trying to see the opportunity in all this craziness and all this chaos. But it's got to be there.
If you found out, let me know And luckily, you know, like the Harley-Davidson dealers, like their showrooms are closed, the parts department are closed, but a lot of the dealers are aware of what they're trying to do for the independent shops. And so they will say, okay, you know, fax me your order. I'll put it together. I'll call you when it's done. And because the service department is open, you go into the service department and pick it up through the service department. So they're trying to do their part as well. So you really, you know, got to give them a hand there also, because they're, you know, trying to do what they can. This too will pass. It's just going to, how long is it going to take? You know, so.
Right.
Right. That's the truth. It could take a month. It could take 2 months. Yeah, who knows?
Is what you're hearing from the economic community is that, okay, well, as soon as this is over, everything will get better. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're predicting return by 2021, which, you know, the 08 recession, and that lasted a long time. So, you know, so we'll see how it did. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's, you got hope. You got to have hope, and you got to smile, and you can't take yourself too seriously. Just stay well. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, totally. It is kind of funny because I have a very quiet block, a very quiet road that I live on. And during sunny days when the sun is shining, there are more bikes and more strollers and more people walking and more kids. It's like it's truly like a block party. Like, I can't pull out of the driveway with a car. It's like, you got to watch kids and dogs all flying all over the place because everybody's walking. Everybody's, and they're all keeping a safe distance from each other. Thankfully, it's a fairly intelligent bunch. They're all keeping themselves separate, but they're all are like health conscious, and they're all walking around, and they're all enjoying the fresh air, and they're all looking at each other and going, "Civilization! Oh my God, you're here!" And then there's some people we don't even know where they come from. Like, we're looking around, like, "Who are you?" But yeah, that's, they're trying to make the best of it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, it's working. You know?
So I'm optimistic, but you know, there are a lot of people that are suffering. You know that Bray was telling me a story about, you know, this business he knows that, you know, they said, "Well, I'm closing. I can't stay open." So you know
first week. Right. That was next to my my chiropractor's office.
Right.
Well, the woman that has a hair salon came in to say goodbye to him, and. You know, he said, "What do you mean goodbye?" And she said, "Well, you know, in that business, a lot of times people, they rent the chair. They actually, you know, they're not full time. They rent the chair by the day of the week or whatever." And I guess the woman, whoever she had using chairs was gone. And the woman's like, "Well, now what am I going to do?" So instead of keeping the place open, she was, "No, I'm closing." Now they don't know if that's going to be long term or short term, but you know, that may be the first salvo, you know, sad to see that.
Well, yeah, 3.3 million people signed up for unemployment. So see what happens. But
yeah.
But what are you working on, Ray?
Me? Well, you know, I've been keeping busy. I did change a speaker in my Impala the other day that had to be done. That when it was a couple days ago, it was beautiful outside. I just stayed out all day. And I haven't been doing as much as I was supposed to be cleaning the basement, and I haven't. You know, I don't know.
How can you with that back there?
What's that?
And you with that drum set back there.
The drum set. That's the newest addition to the household. Yeah. But, you know, I have to be careful because there's it makes noise, you know. And then, you know, people watching TV, you know, my daughter she's doing online classes. So a lot of times she's got, you know, she's in her room and she goes, her computer picks up all the noise through the house. So she goes, "You got to be quiet. Got to be quiet." I said, "Well, hang a sign on the door. You know, let me know when you're in session."
So let me get this straight. A drum set makes noise.
Believe that? Yeah.
Wow.
What I ordered is, and it just came in. Well, it didn't come in. It was supposed to come in yesterday. Were quieting pads. And I see what else just came in. We just got ourselves another phone, another caller. We have, hey, Macho Man Brian in with us, who's trying to connect to audio. And as soon as he connects, we will be talking with Brian.
Nice. There he is. Wait, we got hand gestures. We got sign language.
Yeah.
Can you unmute?
It's connecting your audio. So, yeah, that's.
Am I there?
Oh.
There we go. Macoman Brian. Brian. Yeah, see if you can mute that audio. That's good.
Yeah. That's true.
Brian is a regular on the
Thursday. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Just explain you're a regular on the Thursday night plane and traffic show. And you're on with me, and you have Chris that you can now up there, and with Gerard from All Your Cycles.
Crazy.
Yeah, right?
Man, what a crazy, crazy set. So, you guys doing okay?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, how you holding up down there in Maryland?
We're hanging pretty good. You know, I'm essential, so I'm out running, servicing. I got probably about 25 shops that probably closed down.
Wow.
So, you know, it really hit the wall. I mean, I got some guys, they just don't want to mess with it. They closed. And yeah. I got other guys freaking out, like, how are we going to pay the bills?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Gerard was saying, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been, you know, crazy. I'm hoping you know, this will be the second week, and really I'm almost just kind of delivering, you know, what people ordered or if they have something broken or whatever, just to fix and keep things going.
Right, right.
So,
mm-hmm.
Carry on that way.
Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do all the necessary maintenance. I know I have all the parts sitting in my garage. I'm just waiting to get out there. But yeah, now's the time to just do all the basic maintenance, get all the stuff delivered to the house. And just start taking stuff apart. It'd be great.
Yeah. Hopefully, Macco's been really good. They say they're going, you know, as long as they can continue to ship out the product, I'm going to sell it. So hopefully they stays that way and we get over it. I just don't want to drag it out, you know, a month, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, we got to have lockdown, like, you know, in certain places or not. I don't want to drain all our money trying to keep everything afloat, and then all of a sudden shut us down when we can't make anything. So
speaking of which, Brian, have you noticed any gouging of any kind in your neck of the woods?
We had there was some of that, but they stepped in right away and shut that stuff down real quick and people. And like I said, I've put my parents, you know, my mom and dad on lockdown, and, you know, I go out and get their stuff, and I've had it where I'm lucky enough that I'm roaming around that I can hit different stores for different things and find stuff. Even then, you know, you walk out and somebody said, you know, they're looking for something, just, you know, a can of Lysol or a hand sanitizer or hell, even toilet paper, just give it to the guy and let him run on. You know, it's
right.
Crazy. That's nice. You know, how people get acting about stuff like that.
So let me ask you, how many pounds of brownies have you made at your house so far?
I'm eventually going to look like Jabba the Hutt here because the girls have cooked so much cookies, cakes, brownies. I it's gonna be tough. I lost my summer body already.
Oh no.
So yeah,
that's hysterical. We're all gonna be overweight, long hair, all overweight.
I just asked that because my daughter made brownies yesterday, and I've been how do you not eat fresh brownies when I know Gerard, your daughter makes some of the best brownies I've ever had in my life.
Harold, and it must be a virus thing, you know. Brownies cure the coronavirus. Let's start spreading that around. That's what it is. Eat brownies.
No problem, man.
I got the list this morning to list to go to the grocery shop store first thing in the morning when they open. It didn't have anything like toilet paper or any of that stuff. It was eggs, brown sugar, more butter.
Not just butter, things that we more needed. Mm-hmm. Right, more butter, not just butter.
Oh, yeah, more butter and brown sugar. I mean, and chocolate chips. We ran out. We were shaving Hershey Kisses to have chocolate in the cookies. So it's tough. I mean, we had to sacrifice some Hershey Kisses.
You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. Suffer where you can.
Yeah. You can see our rationing is a whole different perspective now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be going on eBay and spending $60 a bag for Hershey's Kisses now.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy. Crazy.
You know, I was at a store here, a local store to where I am yesterday. I had to pick up a couple essentials. And it was nice to see the meat aisle was fully stocked again, chicken, steaks, beef, whatever you wanted. I couldn't find corn tortillas for some reason or clam sauce. I don't know why, but you know, but the meat Jeez, aisle was stocked. So that was good. Yeah.
But you couldn't find toilet paper.
The other night I had a Thai, Korean, pork belly tacos, and I couldn't find any tortillas.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so I was like really upset.
It must be an East Coast tortilla strike because, yeah.
You know, I just love that Motormouth Radio is it got its finger on the pulse of automotive technology constantly. Yeah. When we've shifted to Hershey's Kisses and tortillas.
Right.
Well, this will go anywhere. I mean, this show can go anywhere.
Brian, how are you keeping – what part are you doing to keep from spreading this virus thing? Are you taking any special measures or anything? Or
Other than, you know, every stop I wipe down the truck. I try not to have anybody really in the truck.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I do, you know, one or two, you know, one guy at a time, basically. Most of the guys understand. I have a couple of shops that when I pull in, you know, I get 10 guys will come out at one time. And,
right.
And I just tell them, hey, look, it's just one at a time. And a lot of the guys I have set up on automatic payments.
Yeah.
So
like me,
yeah,
it's great when a tool guy has your credit card number. What about personal protection stuff? Are there any stuff, any things that people have been buying, masks?
Well, other than hand sanitizer, washing my hands. And, you know, when I come home, it's, you know, strip down, change clothes and take a shower and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I there's only been one time I felt uncomfortable out on the route.
Okay.
I had a guy that was just hacking up everything. And I was like, dude, you got to stand over there.
Yeah.
And that was, other than that, I really haven't had any, you know, problems or issues with anybody.
Good.
Most people kind of understand about keeping a certain distance and,
right.
You know, I do have a couple guys that are super freaked out about it, where they don't want to touch anything that you touch, which I think is kind of.
Well, I was going to say, just the nature of being on a tool truck is you get on that truck and you start grabbing. Oh, let me see this. Let me see that. Let me, you know, it's kind of what you do. You pick it up, you feel it, and you realize, like, can I afford this? You know,
yeah.
Some guys are trying to stick it in their pocket, you know, and walk out with it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I haven't had too much of a problem, and.
Good.
I just try to, you know, like I said, I spray and wipe down every, you know, every stop type thing just to try to keep it clean and hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, guys were using 2+2, just spraying.
Yeah. 2+2, I tell you. Probably
cleaner, yeah.
Everybody wants, I say, screw hand sanitizer. 2+2 will take care of everything, you know. So.
Yeah.
Kill any virus.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, unfortunately, we all have to kind of get it to fight it.
Yeah.
I mean, the way our body works. So I just, like I said, you know, I know that if you have other, you know, other health issues, that's when you have to watch out. That's why, like I said, you know, trying to keep my parents locked in their house is pretty difficult, you know, because they want to be out and running around and they've lived through everything. You know, everybody has that mentality, and that's where we have to understand it can really hurt you.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, we're getting close. It's 5 minutes. We're going to be ending this soiree shortly. So That's and I, you know, we don't know what our plan will be of attack for next week. We may do it this way, I guess. This works. I'm hoping to get back in the studio. I happen to like to be behind the board. I like to, you know, to have the, it's like having the stick shift and the rudders in your hand. You know, you get to do that manual control. I like that.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. I understand that feeling of disconnection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
Chris has the same background as I do.
Dude, I was
on the other side of me and I haven't found you yet. Or
Brian, I was actually admiring that back. You have got like all kinds of stuff back there.
I am Ray Standen. If Ray can't find it, I got it.
Oh my gosh. There's two of you.
There is.
Holy moly. Talk about birds of a feather. I'm looking at that background. I'm like, good God, what do you have back there? I love when radio is a visual medium. Ray finally got his wish. Brian, Ray used to do this all the time in the radio show. He would come in with stuff and start spraying and squishing and doing all kinds of stuff with all of these things. Yeah, right. With all these, and I'm like, Ray, no one can see this. This is radio. No one can see it. It's a visual medium. It's not a visual medium.
But WD-40, I just heard, for this virus too, is another one that's a good killer.
I mean, I love the fact that Gerard is wearing a Motormouth Radio T-shirt. I haven't seen one of those in years. It's awesome. It still fits. It's great.
Represent.
Right.
Represent.
And I wear my Rolling Thunder sweatshirt. Right. Got our stuff.
I still have my Rolling Thunder mouse pad. I still have it. Yep. It's right. Actually, it's back there.
I hope.
Yeah, back there. You're right. Yeah, back.
It's back there. It's on the bench.
I think that light is where I'm at, on you, right behind you, Chris. I can.
Window, yeah. That's my basement light. Yeah, and it's really not really that bright. The camera is just like almost over emphasizing it. It's really not that bright. It's just a gray old day up here in Connecticut.
Yeah. The funny part is when Chris said that he was in his basement, I just thought that hat was just a cover up. But that's
nope. This is as basement-y as it gets, right here. This is, if you have a picture in your mind of a dingy, dark, gloomy, haunted basement, boy, you got it right here. This is it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an old house.
So, hey Ray, before we go, are you just going to do a countdown on the drums?
Actually, it's a virtual background. My drums are upstairs. I'm not by the drums.
Oh.
Yeah, this is, I don't see where my other background went. Actually, this is where I am.
You're in your normal spot.
That's my normal background, right?
Yeah.
I tricked you. I'm sorry.
You got me excited for a minute. I was like, man, Ray's going to go out on a note.
Well, me, Terry, and John will do all of our drum outros. I know, that'll be for another show. But we got to be close, Sean. I guess we got to be close. We got to be getting out of here. So we're gonna wrap it up.
All right.
Like I said, we'll be back next week. Gerard, Brian, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys.
And Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow all of us home.
All right. And we're out. Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3. See you next week, guys.
Awesome.